This morning, before we get to our scripture reading, I want to have just a little introduction to the scripture reading. We're going to be kind of jumping in as we continue in the book of Genesis. We're going to be kind of jumping in mid-story. Today, as we continue our journey through parts of Genesis, as we're allowing the lectionary, we're following the lectionary through this first book of Scripture, between last week and well into August, we're going to be in Genesis. We looked at Genesis 1 last week, and this week we're taking quite a jump forward to Genesis 18. And there is a lot that happens in those intervening chapters. In Genesis 18, we're going to be encountering Abraham and Sarah. But their story actually begins in chapter 12. Well, technically, actually the very end of chapter 11. So just a summary of how Abraham and Sarah get to where they are when we pick up with them in chapter 18 today. In Genesis 12, God calls this man named Abram to leave his country and go to the land that the Lord will show him. And the Lord makes a covenant with Abram that he will make of Abram a great nation and will bless him and make his name great so that he will be a blessing and that in him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abram, by the way, was 75. When this promise comes, and his wife Sarai is 65. And we've also learned, when we meet them in chapter 12, we've also learned that not only are they getting along in years, but throughout this time they have been unable to have children this entire time. And in their travels from Genesis 12 on, in their travels, Abram and Sarai, they have some adventures in Egypt. Abram makes some not so good choices there, and then leaving Egypt in chapters 13 and 14, there's some conflict within this family. And there's also some political intrigue that they sort of get caught up in. And then in Genesis 15, the Lord reiterates his covenant with Abram. And Abram's like, okay, but we're getting along in years. We can't have children, so maybe we'll try it a different way. And the Lord's like, no, go outside and look up at the stars, and so shall your descendants be. So Abram's like, okay. But then in chapter 16, 10 years have gone by since that original promise, and still no child. Abram is now 86 and Sarai is now 76. So now Sarai's like, Abram, this isn't working. Maybe we should try it a different way. We've got to do something. So what if you had a child through my servant Hagar? That would count, right? By the customs of the time and place, this was an acceptable arrangement to carry on the family line. So Sarai and Abram are up for this idea. Hagar gets pregnant. It turns out that this causes some problems in the family between Abram and Sarai. Abram pretends that he has nothing to do with this, and he just says, Hagar's your servant. You deal with it. And so Sarai does and takes out her frustration and anger and everything she's feeling. She takes it out on Hagar. And then chapter 17. 13 or so more years have gone by. Abram is now about 100 and Sarai is 90 years old, and still no child. The Lord again appears to Abram and again reiterates the covenant, the promise. And he tells Abram that now he is no longer to be called Abram, but Abraham, which means father of many. To this 100-year-old man who's never been able to have children, God says, you are now going to be called father of many. And Sarai is now going to be called Sarah. And the Lord again says, you and Sarah are going to have a son. And this is where Abraham falls down on his face and laughs. Can a child, he says, can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Maybe, Abraham says to God, maybe you're thinking of Ishmael, who is Hagar's son. And the Lord says, nope. Sarah is going to have a son, and you are going to name him Isaac. Which, by the way, means something like, he laughs. 25 years waiting on a promise, trying to make it happen through a loophole, through scheming, laughing all the while at the idea. 25 years waiting on a promise. And a promise that itself had shown up quite late in the game to begin with. 25 years. And that's when we get to our passage for today from Genesis chapter 18, which will be read this morning by Betty Conlon.
The scripture lesson today is taken from Genesis 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed at herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for our Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Betty. So a couple of things here. There is so much going on, so much good stuff going on here in just these 15 verses. It starts with a summary statement. The Lord appeared to Abraham. We know that because we're told. Abraham does not. All he sees are these three travelers who show up. And when he greets them, he does say to one of them, "My Lord." But if you're following along with your Bible, what you'll notice is that when verse 1 says, "The Lord appeared," the word "Lord" there is all capitals. That indicates that the word there is actually the intimate, personal, covenantal name of God. And when Abraham then says, says my Lord there to one of these travelers, it's all lowercase. That's because the word there is Lord like sir. It's a general sign of respect that would have been a customary greeting. So we know this is the Lord appearing to Abraham again. But Abraham doesn't know that. But what he does know is that when travelers pass by, when strangers show up, it is good and right to offer hospitality. So he does. Here, take a load off for a bit. Have some water, wash up, and I'll get you a little bread to eat, he says. But then for some reason, Abraham decides to go above and beyond even that. Sarah, he says, use our best flour and make some cakes. And then Abraham runs off to get a calf and has it prepared, and he also gets curds and milk. No longer now just some bread and water. This is a multi-course meal that he offers these unknown travelers. And it's here that they say to Abraham, where is your wife Sarah? At this point, we don't know what Abraham's thinking, but it's a good bet he's getting an inkling that whoever these are, there's something a little strange, right? They seem to know he has a wife named Sarah. And then one of them says, I'll return later on, and when I do, Sarah will have a son. And all this time, Sarah has been listening to this conversation from inside the tent. And now when she hears that, she laughs at this because she knows for any number of reasons, this is not possible. So much so that it's ludicrous to even think about, to even consider the possibility of holding on to that promise made all those years ago. She laughs at the whole idea and then says to herself, I have grown old. My husband has grown old. Preposterous. And the word there is not so much grown old as it is grown exhausted, spent, used up, and worn out. We're tired and exhausted. We don't need to hold on to any worn out and spent promise from a lifetime ago. So she laughs. As did Abraham, if you remember. Not because it's funny and joyous, but because this is one of those things, this is one of those circumstances where if you don't laugh at the idea, the thought of holding on to it any longer is just going to crush you. You laugh. Because the only alternative is to cry. But again, even in this, we are reminded who Abraham and Sarah are dealing with here, as it says again, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. The Lord says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too wonderful, too marvelous, too extraordinary, too surprising for the Lord? But it's still at best ambiguous if Abraham and Sarah know that these are not normal everyday travelers, as it's still also the words of one of the strangers that says to them, I'll return in due season and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah's surprised now because she was only saying these things to herself there in the tent. But one of these strangers somehow heard her and her thoughts, maybe sees it on her face. So she does what we all do when things begin to hit a little too close to home. She pushes it away and denies it. I didn't laugh. And one of the strangers says, oh yes, you did laugh. A 25-year-old, tired, exhausted, spent and worn out promise. So tired and worn out that if you don't laugh at the idea of holding on to it longer, it'll break you. A 25-year-old, tired, exhausted, spent and worn out promise made to a couple long past being spent, tired, and exhausted, and worn out, now trying to hold on to that promise. We're going to be following this family and the generations that come from it. We're going to be following this family through the summer. And again and again and again, we're going to see the grace and mercy of God that shows up, not to people who are living their best life, full of receptive hope, but people who, in the words of Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann, people who have found themselves in a place of resistant hopelessness. We're going to meet the family of promise, to whom God is united in covenant, steadfast and loving faithfulness, through whom redemption and salvation and blessing will come to all creation, to us even. Even though this is a family that struggles, that fights, that resists, and that backs themselves continually into hopeless corners. And echoing throughout all those generations that come after is this question: is anything too wonderful, too impossible, too marvelous for the Lord? A question that is at once both a rhetorical proclamation of God's faithfulness and at the same time a pointed question to us of where we put our faith and our trust each and every day, each and every moment even. And the answer we give to that very real, very live, very present question, the answer upon which hangs everything, is about who or what we trust and put our faith in. It is a proclamation of the very fact of the gospel, and it is a question that invites us each day to choose the life we will live out and live into. This is a challenging question in all times, and certainly no less in our time. The promise is still made. Grace and mercy and God's covenant, steadfast and loving faithfulness persists through even resistant laughter and an ancient couple who are still left doubting. And by the way, who will still, in the next couple chapters, will still make fearful, calculated, and problematic choices. But then we get to chapter 21, verse 1. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have ever said to Abraham and Sarah that Abraham and Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Friends, I can think of no better image of the gospel of Jesus Christ than God here taking the very thing that was a hopeless response from the very body of those who thought hope had passed them by long ago. That early chapter defensive laughter of Abraham and Sarah that has now become the very spontaneous response in Sarah's very being to the incarnate, embodied faithfulness of God. I do not think it is too much to say that in many ways, we are a tired, worn out, and spent people. And there is no doubt that we live in a particularly tired, worn out and spent time. Tired and worn out over trying to live in a new and different normal. That's only been for a few months. And we live among neighbors, sisters, and brothers who are tired and spent and worn out from crying out for the far too long promised justice of God's kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. There on that day, all those years ago, the journey to the fulfilled promise went through an offer of hospitality and welcome, and actions that were done in service to these three unknown tired travelers, making sure they had what they needed for the journey. And it was there, though Abraham and Sarah didn't know it, it was there that they were visited by the Lord Himself. Whatever you have done for the least of these, you have done unto me, Jesus says. Whatever you have done for the tired, the spent, and the worn out, we would do well to ask ourselves, who are the tired, the spent, the worn out from clinging to a promise long delayed among us? For I suspect that in responding to that, we will be stepping in to the very promise of God, the very work of God for the redemption and salvation of all things. The very promise of new life and all things being made new, God's kingdom and will on earth as it is in heaven. Is anything too wonderful, too impossible, too marvelous for the Lord? I love that Sarah, who along with her husband laughed at the idea, because to hope otherwise would have crushed, would have broken them. But that there in the end, she says, as she looks at her child whose very name is laughter, God has brought laughter for me. And everyone who hears will laugh. Not at my hopeless situation, but laugh with me. As hope has been fulfilled, God's grace and God's mercy, God's steadfastness is such that even what is for us perhaps at times a sign of our worn out and spent hopelessness, in the end will be redeemed all the more into an occasion of ever-expanding and all-encompassing joy. That is the good news gospel proclamation of this rhetorical question. And it is also the very pointed, cutting question that demands of us an answer each and every new day. Is anything too marvelous? God's promises are for the tired, the spent, the hopeless, and the worn out. Perhaps it is the weariness of navigating a life that has been turned upside down just these past few months from a pandemic. Perhaps it is the weariness of yet again getting one more health setback, or one more phone call with less than good news. Or the weariness of that one sin or act or even mindset that you just can't seem to overcome no matter how hard you try. Or perhaps it is the tired of being tired and worn out from being worn out cries in the street for justice and hope that have seemed to go unheard for far, far too long. These are who God's long, steadfast promises are for, friends. These are the places where we are invited to meet God at work. And it may yet be that in showing hospitality to strangers, to the tired, the spent, and the worn out on the road to the fulfillment of God's kingdom, that some have even entertained angels without knowing it. Here in this ancient story of Sarah and Abraham, we hear and we receive the proclamation of God's steadfast faithfulness. And it is also here that we are challenged and confronted with the question of, are we going to come alongside, putting our hope, our faith, our trust in what God is doing? We are challenged and confronted with the question of who are we going to come alongside and who are we going to serve and welcome? Is anything too wonderful, too impossible, too marvelous for the Lord? That, friends, that is our promise to live in. And that is also our challenge and our call to live out. Is anything too marvelous for the Lord? Alleluia. Alleluia, family. Amen. Let's sing, Our God, our help in ages past.